No, we started in August of 2007, and Team Fortress 2 came out that October.
Team Fortress 2 episode 2, you mean?
I mean Half-Life 2 episode 2, yeah, and right, Team right, Fortress, yeah, the orange box. Bless you.
God, Team Fortress 2 is old.
We're old.
It's so old. How old was I when I was 19 when we started this show?
Yeah.
I was like a kid.
Yeah. Just be proud of yourself.
No, it's the opposite. I feel sad and lonely. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for July 25th, 2012. It's Christmas in July.
Yay!
We both just had a glass of our favorite Christmas ale, the Great Lakes Brewery Christmas Ale.
Yes.
The best Christmas ale.
It was wondrous.
Oh, so good. I missed that. We also had our first Oktoberfest of the year.
We're just all over the place, and it's July, so.
Yeah, nothing makes any sense, so no. Welcome to our show. We're liquored up and ready to go.
Mike, do you owe the people an apology for last week?
Look.
I put you on the spot.
I know. Look, I'm sorry I wasn't on the show this week. AJ was gone. I was busy. Somebody was going to do the show with me, then they backed out. Then the shooting happened. I was kind of bummed up, and I didn't want to be like, video games, you know? So... There it is. I'm sorry. You guys were fine. And I appreciate that you missed us, though. I know so many people said something. Tattling on me more, really.
Just pointing out your failure.
I know you all missed the Mike Minotti show, but there it is. So, but you know, we're back.
Yes.
Here we are. We've got a show. We got energy. News. There's news, right?
Yeah, I got stuff.
We've got some news.
Oh, God, stuff.
We've got news. Then we'll... That I think we're going to talk about that for a while. So after that, we'll just go to our week in gaming. I think we both played some things.
Yeah,
I bought a lot of things. I haven't played as much of them, but I bought a crap ton of games.
Yes, you did.
I don't think I've ever bought more individual games in a week period of my life.
Yep.
I bought so much.
It's quite possible.
Oh my God. And then we'll get to the schedule. But God. I have a problem. It's funny too, because like when the Steam sale started, I was like, you know, I'll be cool. I'm not gonna go nuts. I'm not gonna go crazy, right? Like I was like, I kind of want to replay BioShock, and maybe I'll get that on PC. That's like the only thing I didn't buy.
Like, well, that one never went on sale. BioShock 2 did.
No, when BioShock 2 went on sale, BioShock 1 was also on sale.
Oh,
but
you didn't get it?
They did a lot of time with the franchise stuff.
Yeah.
They'll have the one game, but they're actually they were all on sale, but yeah. All right, so why don't you get us started then?
Okay. So let's talk about Valve and Gabe Newell. Excuse me. Did you see, first of all, they said that they're bringing Steam to Linux and Left 4 Dead 2 will be the first game. We knew that was happening. But apparently, he was giving a talk, and he was saying that, first of all, he feels Windows 8 is going to be a catastrophe from the point of view of, like, PC manufacturers and OEMs, because it's just, it's Microsoft beginning to try to close off Windows, and this is part of why Valve is becoming so invested in Linux. And the interesting thing he said was he would love for all... 2,500 games on Steam to be playable on Linux, and they're willing to do whatever it takes to get there.
Jeez.
So first of all, like, do you think that's feasible to have all 2,500 Steam games on Linux?
Well, I'm not the most knowledgeable person when it comes to these operating systems.
Right.
I assume that takes a lot of manpower for what is kind of a small user base, unless he's really banking on Windows 8 truly being such a big disaster that there's some sort of bizarre migration to Linux. I don't really see that happening. I mean, I have Windows 8 right now, and, I mean, he's not talking about really the functionality of Windows 8. He's talking about how it's being closed off. So we won't see the effects of that.
Well, I think the worry is, well, if this is Windows 8, what's Windows 9 going to be?
Well, sure.
Is it going to get worse?
Well, it could get worse, or, you know, they could back off if there really is a negative reaction to it. Do I think Linux is going to become bigger than Windows? Is that the big question here?
Not even bigger than Windows.
Or an actual competitor?
I think, well...
Because right now it's like less than probably 1% of all people have Linux,
yeah, and
right?
Well, what he said is the thing that he feels has always kind of held Linux back was the lack of gaming. And he said gaming is really, in a PC space, what can drive consumer adoption of an OS.
I mean, it would definitely make Linux more appealing if they had Steam and every Steam game on there. Like, so it would help.
Especially when you think how many people boot camp their Macs.
Right.
Pretty much to play Windows. I mean, they're like, oh yeah, install your productivity software.
Well, to play Windows so they can play games.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, and yeah, there are like Mac games on Windows now, PC games on Mac, but it's not all of them. It's not like Call of Duty. I see this going two ways. First of all, they're preparing for some kind of apocalyptic event where Microsoft says, all right, only apps downloaded from the Windows Marketplace, whatever it's called, can be played. And Mac goes, only apps downloaded from the Mac App Store can be used. Which is actually the default behavior of OS X Mountain Lion that just came out today.
Well,
you can turn it off, but by default, you can only download apps
from Mac.
Apple
has been going closer and closer to making, like, using an Apple computer, using an Apple smartphone for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But they kind of have very popular smartphones, whereas Windows doesn't. I do get kind of annoyed where I love smartphones, I love tablets, I love all this stuff. But I'm getting annoyed that people think we have to make, like, desktops more like that. And I know why they think that, because, well, more people use iPhones because it's so easy and stuff, because you just push buttons and...
Mm-hmm.
But, like, who cares? Those people don't have anything important to do in their PCs. They can do all the stuff on their iPhone. If that's all they need to do,
get an iPad.
If all you need to do can be accomplished with little icons like that, then you don't need to do anything too important.
Yeah.
I still can't work on my iPhone. I just can't. And I work on a computer.
The direction I see this potentially going in is the reason Gabe Newell wants all 2,500 Steam games on Linux is because once that happens, that's when the Steam box happens.
Well, yeah, potentially.
When you build a console with the free Linux operating system as its base that plays all your PC games, which would actually be pretty damn sweet. Because think about it. You could have the MacBook you use for all your work, and instead of having, like, boot camp it and do all that, you build a really good gaming PC with a free OS and play all your games on that.
And I'm telling you, I'm really... And this happens kind of at the end of every console cycle.
Uh-huh.
I'm becoming, like, a PC gamer again.
Mm-hmm.
And
me too.
If it wasn't for the fact that a lot of games aren't being released day and date on PC, like Assassin's Creed 3 got delayed on PC.
Again, yeah.
Yeah. I would probably just get that on PC now. My Xbox... 360. My Xbox Live membership just expired, and you know this happens. Like, oh, notified, and for the first time, I didn't really care. Yeah. I didn't really be like, oh god, I don't know what the last thing I played on my 360 was Sonic 4 Episode 2 because I reviewed it. I didn't even want to play it. You know, it seems like if I'm going to play anything anymore, and before that, I don't even know. I don't know if I played anything since.
Well, because you played Skyrim on your computer.
Skyrim on my computer. I think last thing before that, before Sonic, I really played on my Xbox was Assassin's Creed Revelations.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to pay for Xbox Live anymore. Especially when there's still ads on it and shit like that.
Yeah, see, that was a big... People started flipping out about that again lately. It doesn't bother me.
It doesn't really bother me, but it is kind of weird. Because normally that's usually the selling point for things like that. It's like, oh, get rid of the ads and pay more.
Yeah, but the thing is they're making a lot of money doing it. Now...
Well, they are, but people like me are kind of... I don't want to pay... And what do I need Xbox Live for? To be honest,
You're not playing online,
I don't play games online anymore. I thought that was cool at first when we could first do it, but now that kind of has been taken over by a certain sect of gamers that I really don't identify with, I don't want to spend time with them. Like, I'm not going to play Call of Duty online, and I don't know, maybe I want to play some Halo and Assassin's Creed, but if I couldn't, would it kill me? No. I'd get along.
To go on your point with the ads, because I think this could actually be an interesting talk. I think where people take umbrage with the ads is not only their prominence, but they came about right around the time the price of Xbox Live went up.
Right, it just made sense.
Because I don't mind paying and having ads, because, I mean, that's why you see ads before a movie. Because if there wasn't, then your $12 ticket would cost $20.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this means your $60 year Xbox Live would have cost $100. I don't know.
But, see, that's the thing.
This is my argument against. It's like saying, well... If your advertising revenue is going up, like, why can't you pass the savings on to your consumers? It's kind of a greedy move.
Where it's a point now, shouldn't they want as many people on their online store as possible to potentially buy things?
Yeah.
Why put a barrier to entry to that?
Well, like, but you can buy things without gold.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Gold. Here's what gold gets you, just to...
I really don't know.
I'll tell you. It gives you online play. Some demos are released early for gold, but, like, DLC isn't. Cross-game chat. And you need gold to use Netflix and Hulu Plus and the MLB app and all that stuff, which is, because you could do all that for free on a PS3. And I feel like there's one more big thing gold gets you that is skipping my mind right now.
Yeah, but it's just, I just don't know. This kind of stuff is so usual. Like, watching Netflix on something, like, I do that on almost every... every major electronic device I bought in the last 2 years can play Netflix.
Yeah, it was one thing when, like, Xbox was the first to do it, but you're right. Netflix is become so commonplace.
Yeah, I can do it on my phone. I can do it on the Wii. You know, something's free on the Wii. And that's, like, this next... You know Sony's not going to start charging for this stuff.
It's too late.
Nintendo's not going to charge for it.
It's not going to be good enough.
So, is Microsoft still going to charge for Xbox Live?
I don't know.
I assume they are, and I just don't think it's smart. I think Microsoft's going to be taken down a peg in the next generation.
I think so, too. I think
that Sony's going to come
over them again. Well, that's kind of been the trend, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Number one has never been number one consecutively.
Right. And I guess is
Microsoft... You can make an argument between PS1 and PS2, but I don't know. What do you think?
As John Turner said, that was the Wild West of gaming. Yeah. All that stuff is just weird to me. I don't even know. I couldn't even compare the 64 and PlayStation 1 sales. I assume PlayStation 1 did better. But, yeah. PS2, meanwhile, was, like, far and away number one. Do we say 360 won this generation, not the Wii? Isn't lifetime-wise, I think Wii still significantly outpaced
sales number, sure. But I think mind share, you can say Xbox wins.
Maybe. But the point is, I don't expect Sony to be in last place again.
No.
I don't. All right. Was that just the one news story?
Yeah.
All right. That's next.
I told you we'd be able to talk about these. So Nintendo was talking about the 3DS XL, and they addressed the complaint some people have about why is there no second analog stick.
What'd they say?
There's not enough room.
That's a lie.
I guess they feel that it has to be more where the internal circuitry is, like where that spot would be, our other plugs.
And move the circuit. What?
Come on. I know. It was a pretty weak excuse.
In the year 2012, that can't be the excuse anymore, that there's not enough room for the circuits. How big are circuits?
Well, then they released like a concept of like a 3DS in a clear plastic shell, which now, of course, everyone wants one of those, and they're not going to sell it.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, you look at it, you're like, okay, yeah, I'm just... Move some stuff.
This seems pretty important to me. Like, do it. I don't care because I'm not going to get an XL, and I don't mind the Circle Pad Pro. I'm going to have to use it soon for a freaking...
Kingdom Hearts.
I better find it. Where is it? Where's my Circle Pad Pro? Why isn't it
there?
I don't
know.
All right, but yeah, I'll be using it soon.
Didn't that come out yesterday?
No, it comes out... Did it?
I don't know. It's Tuesday. Maybe it's this coming Tuesday.
Now I have to check, you asshole. Well, good thing I have this list of release dates.
Yeah, I was going to say, we do this.
So, is there anything else you want to say about that?
Well, some other stuff they talked about, they've apparently got some way of significantly reducing screen glare, which I think is good, because one of the things that can screw up the 3D effect for me in the 3DS is when it reflects something, you know?
Right. It's July 31st, by the way.
Okay, so next one.
All right. Next.
Oh, hang on, my iPhone turned itself off. Vamp, vamp, vamp. I hate vamp.
What are you doing?
Vamping. But then I said vamp, and I don't like vamp.
What's it's vamp? Terrible.
You know, vamp is...
No.
Like in a musical, if they're, like, talking between verses, there's, like, that little bit of music that just kind of repeats, and then it'll dun-dun-dun, and it goes back into the song.
Yeah?
That's vamping.
Why were you vamping?
Because I was turning my phone back on to read the news list.
Oh, okay. Let's go. That's horrible.
We didn't get to talk about it, but I did want to talk about it. They at Comic-Con announced a new Deadpool game.
Ah, oh, that's gonna be awesome.
What'd you think of the trailer and everything?
I thought the trailer was cool. I thought I got the spirit right. I like that it's the Nolan North Deadpool. He's the only voice actor I really like in that role. He was he does Deadpool in Ultimate Marvel's Capcom 3. I think in the Marvel
Ultimate Alliance game. Yeah. That's where he started doing it.
Well, I think the first one he actually did was in the Hulk versus series.
And then it came out after the first Marvel Ultimate Alliance. I'm pretty sure it did.
That was his best. That's where he gets the most really dialogue doing Deadpool.
Right.
And he's great in that. And I like Deadpool a lot, and it's fascinating how popular this character has become in the last decade.
Yeah, it really is interesting, especially since, like, the first time he showed up in a movie, it was pretty damn bad.
It's terrible. But, I'm pretty excited. Plus, the guy's making this, it's, what's their name?
High Moon Studios.
And they did that one Transformers game, then upcoming one, and I didn't play them, but they're supposedly pretty good.
I played the demo for the last one that came out. I forget what it's called, but I
War
was
War of Cybertron. Next one's Fall of Cybertron.
I was remarkably impressed by it. Mm-hmm. Like, I was playing that game, thinking to myself, this game should not be as good as I think it is right now.
It's
kind of
like you say, where you want every superhero game to basically be Batman. It sounds like they want this to be like Batman.
Yeah,
very much. I think it's going to be open world and all that stuff. And it's cool because it can be like that mercenary open world game, which I want.
It's good to see that they do seem to have the humor. Yeah. Of Deadpool.
Well, they're getting the guy who's writing the comic series right now to write it.
Right.
Because like that, I don't want like video game writers to be like, yeah, we're good enough to write Deadpool.
We're going
to
break the fourth wall. Look how funny it's going to be.
Yeah, no, but no, I'm pretty excited. Next.
Okay. So, new Super Mario Brothers 2 for the 3DS comes out.
Which one? 2. Okay.
For 3DS end of the month, Nintendo. In not only are they breaking new ground in the fact that this will be a downloadable title. But they're even doing digital sales to lead up to its release. Can you believe it?
They're doing sales?
It's like it's 2012 at Nintendo headquarters.
Nintendo's going to put digital games on sale?
Well, they have the various Mario Virtual Console games.
Yeah.
Each week, a different one is $1 off. So it's not like significant because...
Well, but some are pretty cheap already, though.
Yeah, the thing is, though, since you can't put any less than $10 on your account... It's like, oh, good, I will not spend this dollar that I spent.
Yeah, that's true. But so, like, still, they're trying.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good step. Yeah. Now if they would just work out a direct billing system, it'd be great.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, it's a remarkable step for them.
Good. Next.
When that game comes out, how will you get it? Oh, that's right. They incentivize the digital version.
Oh, how so?
Double the Club Nintendo points.
I don't know how much that means to me.
50 points for retail.
I might just get the retail version just because. I mean, if I can just get the retail version for the same price, I'm not.
I'm gonna get the download.
But see, if I can, I'm not gonna waste that space.
Why? It's an SD card. You have a 2 gig. You could get a 4 gig for $5.
Maybe I will. I don't know.
Here's my thing. This is what the iPhone has done to me now. The thought of traveling with a bunch of game cartridges and having to switch them around is no longer appealing to me. If I just have all the games on screen, I can collect the one I want.
What you mean. And I like that. I have a lot of games like that with my Vita, and I like that.
Yeah.
Are you excited about that game, by the way?
I am.
I think it's going to be cool.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people are
kind of like down. I like what they're doing with like the coin challenge mode, where it like, kind of randomly gives you 3 levels, and you can street pass your scores.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that being a lot of fun.
I like the power. I like that you have like a gold fire power-up.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be fun.
It'll be good.
Okay, next.
My next story is... we got... I think we could call this the end of the Studio 30 or the 38 Studios saga. Kurt Schilling and a few other people are interviewed. One of the things that was remarkably fascinating was when Kurt Schilling admitted that the game wasn't very fun.
You know why? Because it's probably the most
generic fantasy MMO ever.
Yeah, exactly. He said their own employees weren't playing it on their time off.
Yeah,
they're probably playing Warcraft instead. God.
Apparently they blew through like $155 million before going bankrupt.
Yeah, I'm not shocked. These games are expensive to make. Stop making MMOs. Stop it. Ask BioWare Austin how that went. Like, seriously,
They came out and said that in today's current landscape, the monthly subscription model is challenging. Like, no fucking shit.
Yeah, it was challenging 2 years ago.
It's terrible, because even like when we talked about Secret World with Pete, it's like I said, I looked at it and I caught myself doing it before I caught myself and said, that's a terrible thing to say. But I looked at it, I was like, that looks fun, I'll wait till it goes free to play. I was like, oh, I shouldn't do that.
Yeah, but it's true.
But it's true.
It's true. Screw these games.
Now, remember, too, when they said that they were in talks with a publisher to do a Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning 2?
It was Rockstar? Or
Activision.
Activision.
Everyone assumed it was EA, and then EA even said, like, a week ago, oh, we would have loved to do it. And like, everyone's like, oh, yeah, you're a bunch of assholes. Meanwhile, Activision's like, it was me!
It was me. Yeah, I mean, speaking of MMOs, didn't Mr. Pandaria get a release date?
Yeah, September 25th. They're doing a digital deluxe version in addition to the regular. The regular is 40, digital deluxe is 60. The box collector's edition is 80.
It's funny. I'm going to buy that, get my character level 90.
And then you're going to play pet battles.
And then make a panda character to like level, like, basically just a little bit past the starting
area.
That's what I do with these things. And it's like fine, it's fun, but yeah. I'm not going to raid. It would literally be impossible now. And like, I don't even consider myself a, like,
well,
there are people who are like far more busy than I am. But like, now that like I have a steady job, it's like, I just don't, like, there's just no way to raid.
The thought of it.
I just can't, I can't.
Well, and because that's part of it is because when you're the busiest with your job is kind of when like raiding time, like in the evening.
Yeah.
That's like when you kind of do a lot of your work.
I know. It's nuts. What's next?
The final story I wanted to talk about was this whole mess with the Polytron, Microsoft, and the patch for Fez. So the backstory goes that in April, Polytron released a patch for Fez. And apparently, it caused a save game corruption bug for 1% of users. So the patch was pulled. Time went, and finally, last week, Polytron put up on their blog, they're like, okay, we're reissuing the same patch, we didn't fix anything. It's because of Microsoft, because they were mean and wanted to make us pay a bunch of money for like certification for another title update. And at first I read this, I was like, oh, Microsoft, those assholes. Then I kind of thought about it, I was like, quit whining. Where do you sit on this?
I don't know. I mean, it kind of sucks because they do have to pay for it. I mean, look, I'm not in a position to say if Microsoft's asking too much for it. I don't know. And I don't know right. I don't know how much it costs to patch a game. I don't know if what Microsoft's asking is reasonable or not.
Yeah.
I think it kind of sucks. I mean, and they said it affects a small enough amount of people. I mean, I'll say this. The odds of Fez deleting my save file now are significantly less than of my Xbox is breaking. <You know? laughs> So, but yeah.
Well, it's just, I mean, my thought process I can't think about was you know what? You could have published this game on Steam. You could have published it on PlayStation.
Well, they said that they had to pay Microsoft to make it.
Yeah, which, again, I'm like, well, why'd you do that then? Why didn't you go to somewhere else?
I think a lot of people are kind of still living in the shadow of Braid, where that helped Braid, and it was a big deal for Braid, because of like the Summer Live Arcade and stuff.
Yeah.
That stuff doesn't matter anymore. Yeah, the Summer Live Arcade's happening right now. No one gives a shit.
Yeah, exactly.
No one cares.
Well, because that was a time when the concept of a $15 game you downloaded that was a satisfying game, it was not just Arkanoid, was novel. And it's still pretty new and exciting, but it's here.
Yeah, it's happened.
I mean, that game had so... I mean, I've been hearing about Fez for the last 4 years.
Don't mock Fez.
No.
I love Fez.
I'm saying. They didn't, like... It didn't need to be on the Xbox to find an audience. If it would have come out on Steam and then been in an indie bundle,
it would have been fine. And it probably would have been... They probably would have been fine bypassing Steam altogether.
And bypassing
Xbox.
My final point with it is... Look... The Xbox Live Arcade is a weird place because you have games coming from smaller companies like Polytron and games coming from EA and Activision in the same space.
Because like a lot of developers and publishers have this really weird thing now where like in between projects they make these weird games to kind of promote games.
Yeah.
Like that Fable Legends.
Yeah.
Or before that Fable, but like stuff like that. It's like why is this stuff? It's like a video game to advertise another video game.
Right.
Bizarre. And like that's kind of what you're with. That's the same pool you're in when you're next.
But no, you're not even that though. I mean, they do that, but then you have, I mean, I'm trying to think of an example of a game off the top of my head here.
What, like the Tony Hawk HD?
Yeah,
like, that
exactly.
would have been a retail game.
Right.
5 years ago.
And 5 years ago, if Polytron wanted to put out an Xbox game, they would have had to find a publishing partner, press discs.
You said it would have been more expensive.
It would have been impossible.
Right.
And so now, I mean, we've created the level playing field, but it has to be a level playing field. If Activision has to pay $20,000 for patch certification, so do you.
The fact
that you're an indie can't matter. It can't.
I guess the point is, you know, should any of them have to pay that much? Because we know that a lot of people won't. We know this is why Valve doesn't like Microsoft,
because
they don't like paying that money, and they don't like how long it takes.
Well, that's the other thing, too, with Valve. You saw DLC came out for Left 4 Dead 2, free on PC, Mac. Coming to Xbox, but it's going to be $7.
Right.
And who's going to buy it at this point? But I just feel like
want to play some Left 4 Dead.
If you're an indie dev and you're like, oh, sweet, we're going to come out on Xbox, when you're budgeting, I mean, it's not like this was a surprise to them. You shouldn't say, okay, we have to include in our budget certification for 2 to 3 patches.
Well, who knows? I mean, I'm sure they, you know, sometimes you can hope so strong for something. Like, we know there's no major bugs.
Yeah, but you can never assume that.
No. Maybe they said we're going to have to do one patch. So, but I think they were prepared to do one patch. I don't think they were prepared that that patch was going to break something and that they were going to have to patch it again. Again, I sympathize with them a bit.
A little, it but sucks. At the same time, they sold, what, 100,000 plus copies of that game for $15 a pop. 3 people work there. I think they can afford it.
Well, I never know how much money these guys actually make, because I remember Jonathan Blow went on about how he didn't make a whole lot from Braid. How, like, people assume I'm a millionaire now, blah, blah, blah. And that was, like, one guy. And I assume if anybody would have made money over, like, an overnight success like that, it should have been Jonathan Blow. So I don't know.
That's why they're game makers, not business people.
It's very true. So, I mean, you know Jonathan Blow's next game is not from Xbox.
Well, right.
Yeah, neither the Super Meat Boy guys don't want to work back again. Even though these people, in our minds, found enormous success on those platforms, they seem to have no interest in working on Xbox again.
Yeah.
So, something's going on there. All right. Is that it?
That's it.
All right.
Games, damn it. Tell me about Anno.
I haven't talked about Anno yet?
No.
No. Oh, my God.
You haven't done a podcast in 2 weeks.
I haven't. Well, yeah, so, you know, Steam Summer Sale. The first game I bought and really played, really the one, only one I played in a significant amount of time, is a game called Anno 2070. This is apparently a series. I've never heard of this. There's, like, a bunch of these.
Yeah.
And they're, I guess before they're all kind of in sort of
like some kind of history.
They were all in the golden age of sailing, you know? Like, all the colonialization and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you could tell that, like, this game comes from that background, because in this game it's in the future, but the polar ice caps melt, so you have all these islands. So I assume the other games were very much like island focused, because a lot of it is about making trade routes and stuff. So it's kind of like, it's a weird cross between like SimCity, it's like a traditional RTS, like StarCraft or something, because there's other players going on at the same time, and like Viva Pinata, because you have like citizens. And in order to, you know, use the word evolve, but level up your citizens, you have to meet certain needs.
Uh-huh.
So, and you build all the things that visit. So you have your main island, like, let's say the first thing you want to do is you build some houses. And these people are like, well, we're thirsty, so we need tea. So then you have to find how you're going to build tea for them. And so you put down a tea house, and you have to put, like, 2 generators next to it. Like, a lot of the manufacturing things you have to put... It's not just you have to find space for the house or the building, but for, like, the generators.
It's kind of like the system employed by Command & Conquer.
I don't know
how much Command & Conquer you've played, but...
Yeah, I don't know, but maybe.
Yeah, you put down an energy resource building and it has a sphere of influence.
It's not even that. It's not really about spheres of influence. It's like I'm saying is, let's say you build a 2x2 on a grid, a 2x2 building, then you have to figure out how you're going to put 4 more 2x2 fields. Like the best way to say it is, let's say I'm going to make a cornfield. What you actually build is like the warehouse for it. And then you have to put 9 cornfields around it.
Oh, okay.
And they can only fit in a sphere of influence, so it's...
Oh, so you're putting resources into the sphere of influence of the gathering point.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's very... So it's very much about, like, fitting things in.
Very,
you know?
Carefully placing everything.
Right. And, you know, then you have to worry about your eco-balance, so you have to put items like that and your energy. And they kind of have negative spheres of influence, where you don't want the spheres of influence to overlap.
Uh-huh.
And then you get these people tea, and then they're like, okay, we're happy, and then they're building, well, and this is a little shorter, but it'll evolve into a slightly nicer building, right? And then they're like, now we want coffee or something, you know? Mm-hmm. So then it's like, well, I can't make coffee on my island, because my island doesn't have enough space for coffee, so then you have to make a ship, go colonize another island that does have coffee, and then you start a coffee plantation there. And, like, before, like you know, you do this for 10 hours, and things are crazy. It's awesome.
I just kind of want to go to these people and be like, fuck you, it's the apocalypse. The ice caps have melted and we're on an island. Guess what? No tea.
Honestly, the apocalypse looks nice. This game is gorgeous. And there's 2 factions you can play as. The one is like the very green, sort of very idyllic future, and the other one's a bit more industrial.
Uh-huh.
It's like, you know, I played as the green guys, and it just looks great. I want to live on my goddamn island.
Your tropical paradise where the tea and coffee flow.
But I mean, there's even like an under, like, you have to get oil and things. You have to build underwater, production plants. It's incredibly complicated. In the most rewarding way possible, though, you know? And it's all about, you know, making sure things stay at a profit. So you have to, like, figure out how much you're going to tax your citizens and how much all your production costs are. So it's very much like that kind of game.
Uh-huh.
But it's just, it's incredibly pretty and incredibly complex and incredibly rewarding. I love it. It's great. And cool. I've just played it so far. My the first game I did was just on easy. There's like a campaign. I don't know how that works. I just did like a game on easy mode.
Yeah.
And in easy mode, there's other people, but they're not combative. You don't have to worry, because there actually is like some combat involved in the game, but you don't have to really worry about that.
And easy.
And easy. I wonder what that would be. Which I kind of like. Yeah, I don't know, because like the game is already pretty complicated. But I think it's great.
Cool.
Oh God, I bought. Just to go down the list of things I bought.
Okay.
Anno, Binding of Isaac, the complete pack with its expansions, of course. Good. Borderlands, which I play a little bit. It looks very nice on my computer.
I bet.
We all know about that. Dear Esther. God, I bought that one. That was on sale. What the fuck? Left 4 Dead 2. I was like,
believe you bought it, too.
Like, that's $5. So, yeah. Legend of Grimrock. I heard one guy say something nice about it
once. That was me.
So, hey, there's that. I own that one
now. That's a great game.
Monkey Island 2 and Monkey Island 1, the special editions, because I only got those on Xbox.
All right. So now you hate your Xbox.
Yeah, I hate that other thing now. Quantum Conundrum, you liked it.
Yes.
Thief 2, Thief Gold.
But you'll never Thief play.
I've always wanted to play Thief.
You never will.
I checked Good Old Games a lot, see if Thief was on there, if it was cheap. And I couldn't pass this up. And then I also got the starter pack for Tribes Ascend. So, shit.
But you only spent like $50.
Anno was kind of expensive because it was like only 40% off and it was like a newer game.
Yeah.
It was the most expensive. Everything else is now, probably under $5.
Didn't you have trouble playing it a bit?
Anno?
Yeah.
Like logging in. I didn't really, but there was a thing where, because that's weird, because when you launch it, it doesn't launch the game, it launches Uplay, which is Ubisoft's Steam kind of like thing.
It's their DRM.
Right. Yeah, basically. So, and I guess Uplay was down, so people couldn't
play. I guess just like all that week, their servers were getting hammered because all these Ubisoft games were going on sale and people were buying them, and yeah, they just couldn't keep up.
Right. But, I mean, it didn't affect me, actually. When it happened, I like took a nap, and when I woke up, it worked. that's how I resolved most of my problems with a nap. But yeah, like I said, I haven't really played anymore else. What have you been up to?
I got Dyad on the PSN.
I ran a contest on GamesBeat.
I'm now going to attempt to explain Dyad to you.
Just go.
That's close. It's everyone's right. It's very trance. Feels like you're on some sort of hallucinogenic drug. Don't play this if you suffer from seizures.
Is it Rez-esh?
Okay, here I go. It has kind of a visual style of like Rez mixed with Flow.
Okay. More fun than Flow, though.
Oh, yeah. You're going down a tunnel.
It's a tunnel shooter, basically, right?
Kind of. You know, kind of like Tempest, Space Giraffe, with a little bit of frequency thrown in.
Okay.
You're going down, and there's different colored enemies. When you push the X button, you hook that enemy and kind of pull yourself toward it. And by, hooking enemies, you're building up speed.
Okay.
But if you do two colors in a row, that gives you a boost. So that'll give you like a speed. So it behooves you to go like two oranges, now two blues, two more blues, two oranges.
But was doing three in a row matter?
No.
Okay.
Every two it resets. And there's a little counter at the bottom so you can keep track of it.
Okay.
Then, later in the game, it starts introducing the concept where when you hook an enemy, a little like fins come out of them. And if you go through those fins, there's a word for it, like graze or something like that. That begins building up your lance meter. You have two of them. Once you have one full meter, you hit square and you just zoom forward. And if you go through enemies while you're lancing, you'll kill them, get more points. And if you can keep hitting them, you'll extend the lance.
It's all about going as
fast as possible, basically. Yeah. Well, not always. Some levels will tell you, like, every level has different objectives.
Oh.
So sometimes it's just a matter of getting 50 pairs. It'll say, like, look, speed's not a factor here, so take your time. Don't, like, screw up your hooks. And that's the cool thing. Every level, once you've three-starred it, you unlock the trophy challenge for that level, where literally just beating that challenge, that's how you get trophies.
Okay.
One I played made everything black and white, and you could only identify the color of all the enemies by the sound it made when you got in front of it.
Interesting.
Which was really, really cool.
Interesting. I want to try this.
A demo just came out,
okay.
And yeah, it's
I'll try it.
Really, really cool. Also, it's funny.
It when you look at that, the download size, it's 1,337 megabytes. And that was done on purpose.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
I had to actually, like, see it on my mind. I was like, is that a lot? I was like, anything else?
Yes.
What?
I wanted to talk about Outer Knots.
Oh, yeah. You don't seem pleased with this. This is Insomniac's
Outer Knots is Insomniac and EA's Facebook game. It's their first thing done with EA. It's Pokemon in space.
Which is weird.
Very literally. I mean, you've got types with... some things are effective, some things are weak. You're capturing...
The music even sounds Pokemon-ish.
Actually, the music really went... Like, that battle theme did, but the rest of it is very...
The battle theme, though, that was
Yeah, it's pretty... It's very Future World and Tomorrowland, which well, I really cool. like. That's I kind of nice. Want the soundtrack. I mean, you're capturing beasts inside of these orbs.
Yeah,
it's
okay.
Pokemon. Mixed
but
with Farmville.
But it's got a
so
lot
you've
of
got
meters.
Energy. So every time, like, there's grass blocking the roads, you have to click it to clear it. That costs an energy, and then coins and shit will sometimes pop out of it. Then to fight a beast in the wild, that's 3 energy. To fight a bad guy from Sludge Company, that's 6 energy.
That's just so twisted.
Then all your beasts have stamina.
Of course.
And if they're out of stamina, they can't do anything, but you could buy stamina potions. Then there's 2 currencies.
Can you imagine if Nintendo actually did this with a Pokemon game?
Oh,
like Shitstorm.
You know, there's 2 kinds of currencies. These diamonds, which are super hard to get for free. So you're like, they're pretty much just the pay currency. Then there's coins, which you get, but at an agonizingly slow rate. And you need a lot of them. Because not only do you have this game, but you do have your home world, which is Farmville. You build little buildings that generate resources for you, because you need fuel to get to other planets. They'll generate energy and coins and all this crap. But, like, I have a quest that's like, build a training dojo. Okay? I go to the shop. Training dojo is 2,000 space coins, whatever they are. I have 1,000. And every time I get, like, a few more, like, I'm up to, like, 1,200 now, well, shit, this guy just KO'd. I have to buy the 500 gold coin revive
of course.
Thing for him. Yep. And that's the thing. The game itself, I'm seeing a fun game in there. But it's actively trying to stop me from playing it.
You just wish it was a real game.
Yeah, I think Insomniac was like, well, people will see this game so cool, and they'll spend a lot of money to buy energy. And it's like, no, I'm just not going to spend money. I mean, the reason I've spent $20 each on Super Mario Combat and Tribes Ascend, when I didn't have to, because I was playing the games and I was having fun with them.
Right.
This game, like, doesn't let me play it enough to where I'm going to get to that point. Like, I wish it was just a $20 game I could buy on my Vita or something. It would have been great. Also, you know what game I started playing on Facebook? I don't know why it took me so long to get to it. Well, actually, I do.
Social?
No, that game's shit. You don't know Jack.
Yeah, I forgot they did that. I want to get to that.
When it first came out, I played it like that day, and it like crashed, and I was like, oh, I'll just wait to like fix it, and I never went back. But it's brilliant.
And everyone knows we love us some You Don't Know Jack.
But the way, like, I've never, I mean, it's asynchronous. It's just like, when you play, it's recording not only your scores, but like when you buzzed in. And then, excuse me. Oh my. Then when you play, it just randomly pairs you up with 6 of your friends, so it feels like you're playing in real time with them. 5 questions, you play 1 game free a day. It's brilliant. It works so well. And every week they come out with 2 new episodes.
I'm sure I would enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. Real quick, too. Did you want to talk about Paint the Line?
The card game?
Yeah.
I mean, it's so complicated, I don't want to get too into it.
It's actually, it's more Magic the Gathering than you realize.
Right, but it's Penny Arcade's, it's not a CCG, because you don't collect card games.
It's an expandable card game.
But it's a card game. It's like Magic Gathering, except about... It like, replicates ping pong.
Very well.
Yeah, it's very bizarre. Like, I don't want to explain how it works.
Like, there's dice rolls that are the ping pong ball and a D20.
It's
and
cool, though. Once we figured it out. It's like,
as always, there's that first game where, like, we thought for, like, the first half of the game that you somehow played a card that gave all of my dice rolls minus 5.
I still would have destroyed you.
Yeah, yeah.
And would have anyway.
We'll play it again tonight.
All right. Are you ready for the releases?
Yes.
Let's see what came out. Wreck-A-Tier for Kinect.
I've heard of things about a very mixed. Some people are really high on it. Some are like, oh, it's fun and it works.
But basically, it's the Kinect Angry Birds game.
Yeah. Which there's going to be a Kinect Angry Birds, oddly enough.
Prototype 2 for PC.
Who cares? Radical
Entertainment's like done, aren't they?
Yeah.
Legends of Pegasus.
Oh.
Space simulation game for PC from Calypso? I don't know.
Okay.
Don't know. dear. Man. No, that's it. Yeah. Not a great week. Next week we got Kingdom Hearts.
Yep. There's something else next week too, isn't there?
Is it what?
I don't know. I couldn't even make that up.
Mario 2 is coming out.
Not till like later in August.
I'll look now, but we have to, pretend to be surprised next week. I don't know. I don't see anything else.
I could have just made it up.
Mist is coming on 3DS. I didn't know that was happening.
Oh, but it's not like they went back and made Mist in 3D.
Yeah, that would have been cool. All right. Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody.
Yay.
You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/explodingbarrel. And please be sure to go to the iTunes Music Store, find all of our old episodes, and leave us a review.
We should give a plug, too. Our friend Evan, or Evan Killam, he did the 50th and final episode of this podcast contained spoilers.
Did you listen to that?
Yeah. I just got like last couple of minutes.
I haven't been able to listen to it yet.
It's nice. We're both in it. He had people send in audio clips and everything. And Evan, congratulations on an excellent show.
Did he play other clips of me from the show?
I'm going, like, at the end, he's playing, like, one clip of each person.
Oh, sweet.
So I didn't get to yours yet. I heard mine. Like I said, I was pulling in the driveway and had 2 minutes left.
All right.
But
congratulations, Evan.
He said, "I am not a heartless robot because I cried when everybody bowed to the hobbits in Return of the King."
You're fine.
I know.
All right. Thanks again, everybody. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye. Because I was playing the games, I was having fun with them.